Hey kids, see if you can guess how many times you hear the phrase of the episode. When you hear the phrase, you'll also hear this tone. Alright kids, have fun and listen to another off-color cast. Everybody, welcome back to Off Color Cast. We're on episode 32, the triumphant return of me again. I know you all missed me. This is a segmented podcast that deals with the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. I'm Chris. I play EDH. I'm the awesome part of this. And with me, I've got my two bros, as usual, guest hosts. Sure, guest hosts, Calvin and Cassidy. Cassidy, say hello.
Yeah, guest hosting for 32 straight episodes in a row. check out the articles going up on tcgplayer.com in the Magic section. Pretty sure it's going to be banned this week. Going to try to win with a combination of Darksteel Reactor and Helix Pinnacle and then Azor's Elocutors, so that's going to be a fun deck. And then I'm at Right or Wrong on the Twitter. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
I don't know.
Welcome back, Chris.
Yeah. Didn't you just write that sweet threat assessment article? Oh, wait. That was the other Cassidy.
Yeah, it's pretty weird reading his comments because people call him Cass, and I'm just like...
What?
Must avoid, I guess. I don't know. It's pretty good, though. Pretty good writer.
You commented on it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, the 15-minute cultivate is it's a very difficult thing.
But I might need the arcane later, so...
All right, and we've got our boy Sea Dog over here. Say hello to the people at home, Calvin.
Hey, everybody. It's Calvin, also known as Captain Resident on your internet. Episode 32 is divided by 4 equals 8. I'm not really sure how that divides up into weeks and months and stuff, but you know what? Hey, whatever you can sit down, write it down. I'm not really in the mood to figure it out completely, but I'm pretty sure it's like 8 months or something that like you can listen to us straight now, I guess. Right? That's what it is.
Yeah, sure.
Numbers sounds are good. Hard.
Yeah.
Like my penis.
All right, kids. Intro accomplished.
Well, 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 if it isn't time for Chris's stupid card thing, here on Off Color.
All right, kids, it's time for a stupid card thing. Since last episode, while I was listening to it, which was pretty good, they mentioned that there wasn't one. And I'm like, well, F you guys, I'm going to do one now. We got a card from Darksteel. It's an artifact. It's 3 mana. It's called Thunderstaff. As long as Thunderstaff is untapped, if a creature would deal combat damage to you, prevent one of that damage. You can pay 2 and tap it. Attacking creatures get +1/+0 until end of turn. So obviously, I like it because it really makes like Alpha Strikes with tokens kind of weird, or just like Alpha Strikes in general, because they're doing the math in their head, and then you drop the Thunderstaff, and they're like, what? Or anytime something hits you, and it's like, what? And so it's really just a huge pain in the butt. And so, of course, I love it. I mean, there is the Anthem effect, too, which is always nice if you have a bunch of dudes. But I like the damage prevention part a lot more. Cassidy, what do you think of this bad boy?
I think it's kind of cool. The preventing of damage is actually pretty sweet on a 3-drop artifact that has other things to do. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to spend a bunch like on Urza's armor or shit like that. I don't really get the card though, you know, like Thunderstaff. I don't really get how that works. Like, why is the Thunderstaff preventing damage and like battle crying? Shouldn't it be like lightning bolting shit? Like, whatever, I guess, you know. So I don't see the flavor, but besides that, it's a cool card.
Yeah, flavor wise, I'm a bit of a loss too. When I first I actually got it, and when I was buying one of those like 1,000 card lots on eBay. And then I got it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? And then I'm like, I love this thing. Calvin, this looks like your kind of card. What do you think?
Well, one, I actually do like the fact that this card has basically a built-in battle cry on it, so you can put battle cry in all of your decks, even if you don't have cards that have battle cry on it. But the thing I actually like about it, like what Cassie was talking about, how like he doesn't understand why it's a Thunderstaff. I think the name of the card should have been Stolen Thunderstaff, because at least then like it would make more sense why you prevent someone else's one, because you basically like, you know, steal the thunder. Yeah, well, whatever. Fuck you, too.
I'm laughing, dude. I dig it.
But, like, the prevention thing, I actually kind of enjoy. I actually think it's a pretty fairly rounded out card when you think about it in, like, a general sense, because if you're ever actually in the point where you are trying to, like, hold on a second, let me gather this up real quick in my mind real quick before I go ahead and fuck this up. All right. If you're ever at the point where you actually don't want to be attacking and you're actually in the process of wanting to block, the Thunderstaff in and of itself can sit there and help you survive those, like, troublesome times where you're low on creatures. I mean, it might not do much, but, like, one damage for every creature, even if someone attacks you with 20 creatures, that's at least 20 points of damage you're not taking. You know, but in the same token, it's if you happen to find a way to like raft the board and build up an army, it's not like it's wasteful later on in the game, because you can always then you can tap it and get the +1/+0 out of it, and then send your dudes back swinging the other direction. So it seems like the kind of thing that's like a good like combat/control card in a way.
Okay, I kind of have a question, because I'm not sure what a replacement effect would do this, but you know, like that new giant where if a thing was going to damage you, it damages it instead? Would that replace before the one is prevented, or after?
Okay.
It would prevent one of the damage. Actually, I don't think it would prevent any damage, because I think the pry effect would...
The Thunderstaff The Thunderstaff wouldn't prevent the damage because, well, it depends. If you control both the giant and the Thunderstaff, I think you have get the chance to stack the abilities either way.
Well, yeah, but it would need to deal the combat damage to prevent one of that damage. Like the damage being dealt and resolving is what triggers the prevention of damage, whereas the other thing redirects the damage. So it's not, the damage isn't dealt until it's already hitting the Palisade Giant or the Imperial, or not Imperial Plate, but the is it Pariah Shield?
I see what you're saying, because the weird giant would see you about to take damage in like some weird way and then just kind of redirect it towards itself.
He'd jump in front of it before the Thunderstaff would be able to go off.
Right.
So
wait, the giant actually says, like, if damage would be dealt to you, it's dealt to him instead? That's like what is written, or is it like one of those like,
yeah,
if damage is dealt to you?
Nah, it's all damage that would be dealt to you or another permanent you control is dealt to Palisade Giant instead.
Yeah, so the damage wouldn't even touch you because it would come near your direction, but then the Palisade Giant just kind of jumps in the way and takes all of that. I thought you were talking about like in one of those weird scenarios where it's like if combat damage is dealt to you, deal that much damage to this creature instead.
Because then
I think you'd have like the way to like kind of manipulate the two together.
Question number two: would this prevent damage that would be redirected to a planeswalker?
The damage would, because it would be damage dealt to the planeswalker and not you.
Yeah, I've always had trouble like, you know, resolving how that actually works in my brain.
Basically, it's like imagine like a lightning bolt being shot towards you, and you know it's headed your direction, and then like somehow or another it like twists slightly, and then it ends up shooting your planeswalker. It's headed in your direction, but it wouldn't damage you, so the staff wouldn't see you get hit. It would see the planeswalker get hit and won't care because the planeswalker is not you.
Yeah, I just make a shortcut in my brain that if it's a burn spell, it's got to say player on it if I'm going to hit a planeswalker with it.
Or it could be like Dreadbore, where it's, you know, like specifically killing planeswalkers.
Ah, Dreadbore. So, obviously, this card works really good with Force Field.
Yeah.
if you're the kind of guy who doesn't mind proxying it or, you know, owns a force field, I would definitely say get a Thunderstaff to complement it. I'm not thinking of any like stupid cards that combo with it well besides that one, though. Is there anything I'm missing?
Like, there's Battletide Alchemist, and then, like, Urza's Armor, which will, like, you know, it'll stack the damage at prevention, so, like, you can get it where you're not taking as much damage, and you won't have to, like, shell out, like, whatever, the $100 for a force field or whatever, you know? But I think there's plenty of ways to prevent damage, like, fog style, so, I mean, it's not like this is like, oh my god, I've been looking for more ways to prevent one damage a turn, you know what I mean? Although it is, could be up for a lot of damage because it stacks with a lot of different creatures, you know, so that's pretty good. You know, it prevents a lot of
damage. Wouldn't this work pretty well with Gisela? Because she would reduce the damage, and if the damage ever got reduced to a point where it was one, then it would just be like none. Like say creature like a you have a 2/2 creature swing at you, Gisela reduces the damage to one, then this sees its one damage and prevents it.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. I mean, all those are pretty cool in Gisela. I never even really thought about that.
Yeah.
See, it seems with Gisela, you're just going to be better off, like, doing offensive things, though. You know?
Well, you got the battle cry on it, too. Still,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, this would be good for Gisela, because even if you get this and Gisela out and, like, you're for some reason you're not attacking, her ability plus this would reduce a lot of the damage. And even if it's any... It basically, they have to hit you with something at least at a 3 or higher just to be able to hit you for 1. And when you swing back with Gisela and you activate this and give everything battle cry, Gisela makes it basically pay to tap all creatures you control get +2/+0 or something similar to that. Like just basically like she just pumps everyone else as well and pumps this because it would increase the amount of damage it would deal out.
That actually was something I wanted to bring up was like kind of the duality of it where it's like if you're not attacking, excuse me, if you're not attacking, you can prevent one damage, but at the same time, it has to be untapped, so you can't, like, battle cry and then, like, use it to defend on the next turn. So it's kind of got, like, that cool, like, I have to make a decision type thing, you know, which I think is always pretty fun for Magic in general, because there's when cards are just, like, so easy and you don't have to make any decision, it's basically just, like, not, you know what I mean? It's just too powerful. So.
Well, if you've noticed, like, if that card were printed today, it would probably just have both abilities on it.
Right, like a Staff of Nin, basically, right? I mean, like, yeah, I agree, and that's why I think it's pretty cool.
But since it is an artifact, you are ways to, like, basically untap the stupid thing, and you can pretty much set it up that way.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And you could be able to potentially get more damage. You could potentially get more battle cry out of it, and you could potentially also have, like the ability to still get to prevent damage on it as well.
I'll admit, if I'm throwing in, like, a Voltaic Key or something, I'm probably not aiming to untap Thunderstaff as one of my first 5 options.
I'm just saying, like, it's more like if you're low on life and you don't really have any other options for some reason, you got this in Voltaic Key out, you can, you know, swing for something, pump your guys, and then bring them down.
Isn't there that one card then, too, where you tap 2 artifacts to untap an artifact, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that'd be pretty cool.
Especially if they're artifacts that don't matter.
Yeah.
Like, all right, kids. So let's go ahead and grade this thing. I know it's been a while since we've done one of these, so you guys might be grading softer than you think. But thumbs up or thumbs down, Cassidy?
Yeah, thumbs up. I like it. I played Gisela, so I kind of like that idea. And just the idea of untapping it a bunch of times to do it multiple. It's just really, really funny. So, yeah, I'm down. I'll thumbs up it, yeah.
All right, and Calvin?
I hate it whenever we actually do this because, it's, I don't know, it just seems like tradition now. Like, we come back and Chris always picks a card that all of us agree on. I don't... And part of me just wants to break it, but I can't say no to this.
Well, the fact that it should be in your crappy Agris cost deck.
My Agris cost deck is not crappy.
Okay, your awesome Agris cost deck.
But I would give this a thumbs up, and including like usage for everything. And the other good thing I like about it is because it's a control card and an aggro card, so you can actually be able to use it for like various different things. And since it's like an artifact, you can put it in pretty much token decks, aggressive decks. If you're playing like a prison style deck with like ghostly quarters and blue white, you could put it in there technically and prevent a bunch of damage with other stuff like that.
Yeah,
It seems like a really nicely rounded card, and it doesn't really have a high mana cost on it. It's just too effective for what it is, and it's what it is. It's just a fairly decent card.
This card would probably be an auto-include, I guess, if it prevented damage from creature-on-creature combat.
Oh, yeah.
And then then it wouldn't be in the stupid card thing, probably. Oh, also, you'd probably never tap it.
Yeah.
All right, kids, so it looks like we got three thumbs up over here, so maybe if you're playing in, I don't know, any deck, really, why don't you throw in a Thunderstaff and see what happens? All right, so what are we talking about now?
Stink bugs.
Oh, I hate those things.
Yeah, me too.
I always wonder if I'm killing them fast enough. Or if they're going to stink.
No, I always know that no matter what I do, it's going to stink.
Yeah.
I'll be right back, I got
to. And
those motherfuckers are an invasive species, too. You didn't see them a while ago. And now suddenly they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're now popular around here for some fucking reason. I don't understand why. And then I keep coming across them in my house. And it's I don't understand why. The windows are sealed up. Everything is nice and stuff inside. And yet, for some reason, I always turn around and there's one of those little fuckers crawling around somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, I really have to figure out a way to quickly grab a hold of that thing and get rid of it before it blows up. And then I got to Febreze and air freshen my house.
I just smash them. And hope and pray.
All right, people. Calvin, also known as Captain Redzone.
We're coming for you!
Swag.
We take what we want!
Into the red zone.
Swag.
We're coming for you!
Swag.
We take what we want!
Into the red zone.
Alright, what are we talking about?
Did Cassidy come back from
prison? Yeah, he back.
Okay. Hey, Cass, what's going on?
I'm back, yeah.
Everything. Did you want to complain about the Commander Arsenal? Or is that old news now?
It's old news, but I still kind of wanted to get into it. But now, since it's all these weeks later, we actually have the full list of it if anybody actually wants to go over it. But I don't think it matters as much.
Nah.
Yeah, whatever.
Unless you guys actually want to say something about it. I know Cassidy's not going to say shit about it because he's got to sell them cards.
Well, I mean,
no one has those to sell anymore. They're all fucking gone.
Yeah. It ended up, From the Vault sets got exploded in price like this too. So I'm not entirely sure why, suddenly. Well, I guess, did people complain as much about the From the Vaults ones?
Of course they did.
Yeah. It just feels like they're complaining more of this. Nobody was complaining that From the Vaults Realms was expensive.
People complained about the From the Vaults, but in the same token, it's with the From the Vaults, you kind of saw it coming. You know? But with this, it's the main thing that got to me about the Commander's Arsenal is the oversized cards. The oversized cards and the battle icon things and the sleeves and all the extra wraparound swag that they gave it, that, let's be completely honest, is probably 100% useless.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter though, loyal retainers.
Well, yeah, that was the big thing we were talking about last time we talked about it, right? Was what the fuck are they going to put in here to make it worth that $75? And then they're like, oh, we're just putting in a $200 card, no big deal.
the guy who wrote the article, the guy who put it together, it's not like I was faulting anything he said about it. Some of the cards seemed a little too new, but...
Yeah, but the thing is, if let's put it like this, if you take out the two, what is it, three kingdom cards, the Royal Retainer and one Legend, the red
Archon.
She's not that good
actually,
enough, right?
No.
Yeah, but you take those out, right? And then what's left? You're stuck a commander box, basically. It's pretty much these are the cards that came in the summer pre-packaged things that we kind of wanted to foil, but we couldn't. And that's all it really is. And then with the oversized cards, none of the oversized cards are legends inside this package. So if you opened it for the oversized cards, you better damn well have those cards in regular format. The other thing I have a problem with it was
Sliver Queen's in a legend.
But she's not in the box, like, as a card.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but she's not in the box as a card.
Yeah.
They couldn't print the oversized box as a card. All right, let's put it like this. How many legends came in that thing? Like, what, six? Five? Something like that?
Because I know it was
a couple of the commander guys. So there's like six legends that came in this thing. You have 10 oversized cards, and you didn't even make the six of those oversized cards the six legends that's in this box.
Yeah. And like,
which means I buy this box. Let's put it like this: I buy this box, and unless I already have an oversized version of these cards that I just got from you, the legend ones, I'm not getting one unless I have to go online and like basically eBay look for them. If the oversized cards that are here, if I don't have a Sliver Queen in my collection, I got to go out and buy one, because I can't put a giant Sliver Queen together with a Sliver deck and then expect to play her and then expect for her not to end up in a deck somehow.
That's when you just write Sliver Queen on a forest and shuffle it in.
Yeah, but then that's the case. Then you're kind of defeating the whole purpose of actually having Magic cards. You could basically pick up any random like common or.
Well, I mean,
land or whatever, right? What the fuck you want her and put
I mean,
it in
that's,
there. And
that's been
perfectly
an argument
understandable.
For since the game came out.
Yeah, but that's something that I understand as an argument for us. Like, as casual players, I can understand that, like, basically the casual versus the collector, me and you guys having that argument is one thing. But when Wizards gives you a product that basically says, oh, look, here's a giant card you can't play with in any legal format because it's so big, you can't put it in your deck, it's basically just for show. Oh, and guess what? This box is promoting a format that this card is actually pretty fun in. Hope you got one. So basically, it's them pretty much trying to force you to go on a secondary market to purchase these cards or go back into some type of like mythical store that actually has packs of whatever random set Sliver Overlord came in or whatever. So you can try and crack her. And if you don't, then you know what? Now you got to praxy it because they gave you this big-ass card. So basically, this card is useless. Completely useless. Pretty much everything in this thing is useless. This whole product was pretty much just them using it as an excuse to print lawyer retainers and that Red Legend.
That's the part
that gets to me about this.
People want to foil Chaos Warp.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you wanted to foil Chaos Warp, they could have put a Chaos Warp in a prepackaged comp, and like one of the like Vincer versus Koff summer things they do, or they could have just made like maybe one of those weird foil, like how they did that bullcrap with Shards of Alar, where they made that whole
foil
pack of like foil
packs.
Stuff. Yeah, like that whole thing of foil booster packs. They went ahead and did that dumb thing. Maybe they should have just took the random cards that they got from the summer sets and been like, oh yeah, all those cards that we printed like over the last 4 years that we didn't want to print into standard, well, we're going to make a box of those and foil them out. That would be one thing. That would be perfectly understandable, but there would be no need for all this excess BS of you giving us these oversized cards, these battle markers, these unnecessary sleeves that, let's be honest, are going to rip like the moment I open the package.
Oh, they look horrible.
The air is going to touch. The air is going to touch them, and they're going to burst into like whatever. And then half the cards you have in this pack are just basically that's all they are just foiled versions of the shit you just gave me. And if you just gave us these things, why didn't you just make them foiled there?
I don't know.
Have you read the article about the guy picking the cards for it?
The one by Mark Gottlieb?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have that one open, actually. The one with the pictures of all, like, at Liliana's Professor Plum for some reason.
Probably because she's purple.
Yeah. Super purple. Mm-hmm. Barney.
So basically, it looks like they sort of went up to him and they're like, hey, put this together. And then they gave him like a day.
You like EDH, right? Make this fast. Like, okay.
All right, man, whatever.
Yeah, but in the same token, if that were something that I like, let's be honest, if it was something that I were going to, like, let's be honest, if I was going to do a Commander's Arsenal and I had been given these parameters, I can understand if they didn't want me to put 10 legends in it. At least I would have made whatever legends I put in it as a part of the oversized cards. So that not all the oversized cards are completely useless. Even when you buy the Commander Summer product, you got like a large version of like Ruhan or the Fomari, and you got the small one. So when you got a chance to play it, you could stick Ruhan in your sleeve if you wanted to, and you could stick the big one in a bigger sleeve or carry it around if you chose to. But with these big oversized cards, you don't have a smaller version of the Mimeo, what was it? Azusa, Lost by Seeking. You don't have a small one that came in this. You have to get your own. You don't have a small sliver, blah, blah, blah. Because
queen,
whatever, yeah. Sliver queen, the sliver queen, sliver overlord, and sliver legion all for some reason fall into like the same card in my mind. I know what they look like. I know what they do, but
only ever be running overlord.
What?
But like in my mind, like, but it doesn't like the sliver queen's like you got the big one here, but like unless you have the other one, you don't, and you can't use it.
Yeah, and it's like $20. That's my thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like I'm already spending, what, by this, I'm basically spending $80 on this product. And out of $80, that's, well, let's be honest, the MSRP
How
is spending $80 on this
product.
How many
less be honests have you
given
us? He's laying them
okay.
down.
Leave me alone. But the thing is, like, they basically have the MSRP as $80, and if the MSRP is $80 and you're going to use it for $80, then I would expect $80 worth of, you know, decent stuff, because you know what, the front of vaults is less than this, and I get at least 15 cards that I actually would want to use, mostly for one reason or another. This, it's like, and the front of vaults is like, it's lower than this, it comes with the cards, and that's basically what it is. Blam, there's no random stuffed big giant cards in there and sleeves and unnecessary plastic coin pieces to try to bulk the price up a little bit to try to get extra money out of me. No, it's what I wanted, it's what I paid for, it's what I got.
I think we're all a little spoiled with everything they've been given lately. They can make a bad thing that I don't want, and I'm fine not buying it.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with it. Like, I'm not gonna get up in arms and talk about how it's like the downfall of the thing. I agree with you, though, right. Calvin, especially with the Sliver Queen, because the Sliver Queen is really hard to get.
The pre-cons are actually the downfall of the format, so.
Well, I mean, just people, I mean, like, I think Imshan wrote an article about how it's, like, bad portents for what Commander products are going to be printed, and yeah, it's just, like, poorly done stuff, but
well,
whatever.
Like, it's not their, it's our format. It's not their job to make our format good. It's our job.
Yeah, and, I mean, I agree mostly with what they did here, so.
Oh, well, let's have shout-outs to that guy with the goofy voice that's now on the rules committee. Thanks. Obsidian Dice, I forget his real name now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
You guys don't keep up on this at all, do you? I'm not around, I'll just like, go on vacation and shit.
I heard about it on Twitter, but then I looked up like the first part, MTGO getting sued, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. I'm done.
What? I didn't that part.
Yeah, MTGO is getting sued because some company has a patent on online card games or electronic card games.
I mean, I think it's stupid, but Wizards patented tapping a card for a game state, so whatever.
Oh, did they?
But
yeah, why do you think so many card games don't tap?
Yeah.
When they really, I mean, tapping is like something that would be very useful for many, many things.
Yeah, that does actually make sense because No, I don't think about it. Like, yeah, that would have been a lot easier in Yu-Gi-Oh! Because, like, creatures don't tap. Well, they do, like, they attack and block, but they have to change their position. And when they attack, they don't switch their position. They stay in the same position. Then they can't switch back down.
Oh, so it's more kind like putting them in a different zone kind of deal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's bullshit. If you could just turn it sideways, it'd be great.
Did they have that back in the day at the trading card boom? Because a lot, I feel like Doomtown had tapping and stuff like that.
I think they did it pretty early.
Yeah.
So that's
how long was that rant?
Long enough.
Was there anything else we wanted to watch?
No, not really. I mean,
not really. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's like, I didn't buy any of this. I had no intentions on buying any of it, and I knew it was going to be complete crap when I heard about it, especially when I saw the price tag for it. But you know, I try to do what I can to keep a open mind to products that Wizards puts out. And let's be completely honest: we all are Magic players, and we are collectors. And shut up, Chris. But the thing is, like, you know, we're all Magic players. We all try to do what we can. And, you know, when Wizards puts out good stuff, I've got no problem giving them praises when I see cards I like and creatures I enjoy and sets that I like playing around with and packs and pre-constructed this and that and a third. But when they put something out, I personally feel that it's our given civil duty as players to let them have it. Because if we don't, they're just going to be like, oh, well, that sold well. Like, it sold well, but the only reason it sold was because you put a $200 card in a box.
Yeah.
if you took that card out, this entire thing would have gone straight down. So this was just a nice way for you to kind of say, let's reprint these two cards. And had you had just put those two cards in, like, I don't know, like, let's say they did, like, a From the Vault Kingdoms. And just put those cards in there with, like, the other, like, with, like, basic lands and other stuff like that wrapped around it from, like, Portal String Kingdom or whatever, then, yeah, they could have easily just reprinted the card and made the same amount of money because people would have bought that. It's not the product that sold this, and it's barely what's in the box. It's only one item here that anyone really cared about. And the rest of it basically just becomes, like, trade fodder.
Right, yeah, I mean, even if you take that, if you take the lawyer retainers out of it, the $75 MSRP doesn't even really stack up, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't add up to $75 if that one card's taken out, so that, like, that's pretty telling, yeah. You know?
I do kind of want, like, the new Decree of Pain.
I would say if you take that one and you take the other, like, Three Kingdom Legend out of it, because the Three Kingdom stuff is basically extensively rare, and they're all, like, pretty much, like, high in price. So if you take those two Three Kingdom cards out, and then this would just drop down to, like, right about, like, the point where, like, I could understand why someone would pay maybe the MSRP, but it wouldn't have, like, shot to, like, being, like, $250 on eBay or whatever the random price tag for it was that it got to. Because last time I saw it, the day it came out, it was, like, $250. And I was like, that just seems like a complete waste of money.
Oh, hey, did you guys see the new picture for Mind's Eye yet? Like, it's, like, the exact same... It's like the exact same fucking photo, only, like, made it, like...
See that. Does it look like a taint?
I do kind of, like... I'll probably buy the Decree of Pain from somebody, because I hate Decree of Pain's art.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few cool stuff in here, and, like, you know... It offers the foil stuff to those people who care, which I'm not one of them.
The cards that are in it are cool, but just not for what they were basically axing for.
Right, absolutely.
That's the part that gets to me. It's like with all the extra fluff taken out and like one high money rare card out of it, maybe the second one would have been, like, fine, I guess. And then that might have been a reason to keep it at that point, because you'd be buying it for the other card and then you have all this extra stuff. But I still wouldn't expect it to be $80 or by retail. Mm-hmm. I would expect it to be, you know, right around the price for From the Vault.
Did you notice, completely off topic, but did you guys notice that the Judge promo Zha Hao Dun is only $20?
Hmm.
What was that?
Like, I really expected the Judge promo one to be, while not on par with the Three Kingdoms price, I expected it to be high. But it's like
the black creature.
Yeah, the black Three Kingdoms dude that is like $200. But the Judge promo version is only like $20, which is a drastic price difference.
Yeah, that's weird.
Wait, Zha Hao Dun, the Judge promo was like $20.
Yeah. Is that on TCG Player?
It's on Channel Fireball. Has 20 of them for $19.99.
Oh wow!
It's like everybody unloaded the Judge promo version, I guess, and nobody wants it.
Wow, that's weird.
I know what I'm going to be picking up.
Yes, yeah, he's kind of like Shieldred a little bit, right?
Yeah. But it's one of those cards that I know, like, one of my friends actually likes Zha Hao Dun and was waiting for him to come out in Legends, the From the Vault Legend thing, and got really disappointed. I'm not sure if he knows that it's like $20 for the Judge promo. More likely he does, and he probably already has one. But still, like, it was still an awesome card. Just when I, like, thought about it, I was like, you know what? I'd pick that up for $20.
Yeah.
How do you spell that guy's name?
X-A-I.
Oh, Zhao. Okay. Right.
I mean, X-I-A.
Yeah. I gotcha.
X-I-A or something like that.
I was thinking, looking with a J. Okay. Oh, okay. He's not that great. Whatever.
Okay,
I was just gonna say, like, if you have the regular kind of shenanigans going on, you can do decent stuff with them. But He's okay for mono black. He's no Balfour the Defiled.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No biggie.
But he was always just sort of a mythical card because he had a decent ability and he was $200.
Yeah. I mean, I probably played against him once and I'm like, you're a tool.
And, you know, the other good thing about him is because he has the horsemanship, so you can actually be able to basically... He's basically unblockable.
Yeah, Sun Quan, come on.
Hmm?
I use Sun Quan in, like, half my decks, so...
Sun Quan!
Yeah, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's basically unblockable, and he's a mono-black general that you can use as, like, a way to recur stuff. So he's basically... Yeah, he basically is just, like, another version of Shieldred. But for the four mana, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, with him being a creature in black, you can always be able to do other recursion things to get him back to your side of the field.
Yeah.
Combine him with, like, Grave Pat. You can sack him, make them sack something, get something back, Grave Pat him. Like, and, like, I guess, like well, not, what would it be? Damn it. Ever since Innistrad came out, every time I think of mono black recursion, I keep thinking Unburial Rites, and I know it's not black because it's black and white with that damn white symbol in the corner for the flashback. But I can't think of any other black. Reanimate Dead, that's what I'm going with.
It's pretty fun. Cool with Sappy, actually. I kind of like him with Sappy and maybe like a Caridor deck. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you can combine him with Shieldred. Like, if you just have her, like, in the deck, you can have her basically bring him back every turn and use him to sacrifice and bring something else back.
Or if you have creatures that, like, spell starter sprites or something, where you want to play him, or, like, a Snapcaster, and but you don't want to, like, put him right into play right away, you know? You want to have the option to play him fat. So, yeah. All right, well,
we've talked enough about all this stuff. If for some odd reason you were not sick of hearing about the Commander's Arsenal and wanted to say something else, why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com.
It is safe to say that none of us will be buying it.
Nah.
That's not a mystery to anyone.
I don't even really like foils like that.
I bet you get the foil Vela, Cassidy.
I've been using Windwin instead. Vela lately. She's
win,
awesome. My card store is doing a tournament for the box. It's $20 to get in, and I hope it's not empty. Like last time it was like for the realms, you know, but like anyone who got like second through fifth got M12 packs. So it's kind of like you.
Well, M13 packs wouldn't be bad. You could rip that Thrag Tusk.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't M13. That was the thing. It was M12.
M13 was out when Realms came out, wasn't it?
Yeah,
wait,
it was.
Was it?
It was him unloading, like, a big stock of a shitty set, basically.
Yeah, M12. As far as the new core sets go, M12 was probably the most boring.
It was all the interesting cards were reprints, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the tight. So it was kind of, like, boring much.
Yeah.
I think
M12 had just those three planeswalkers that were printed, the boring Jace, the Chandra that actually worked, and Garuk,
yeah,
right?
But they were reprinted in M13.
Big Beta Garuk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the only thing. Those are the only things that came out of like M12, other than the usage of the
Runescar Demon. Runescar Demon is a big.
And the and the Lich, or was it Vengeful Pharaoh? What? Vengeful Pharaoh came from.
Yeah, I play with him too. He's awesome.
I think like every other core set, they should reprint Relentless Rats.
Hell yeah! I just made a Relentless Rats deck. Yeah. Did they print that recently?
No, they didn't. Wait,
did they need to though?
Yeah, just because it's such a fun FNM deck.
Yeah,
that they should really want the casual crowd to keep playing it, so they should just put it in like every other core set or something.
Well, pack rats will be legal for a while, right?
Good god, pack rat. Talk about pack how rat. To win a limited game.
oh yeah, I bet. Do you have to discard a creature card or just any card?
Any card.
So good. My god.
I've been playing Relentless Rats online a lot, and dudes have actually been complaining. It's like, what? They're like, I don't feel Relentless Rats is in the spirit of EDH. I'm like, there is no spirit of EDH.
If Relentless Rats is not the spirit of EDH, there is none, because like it's the most pointless and straightforward thing on the planet, and it's the only place you can do it and have fun really anymore. Yeah. I guess you could probably do it in casuals, but
yeah. Whatever. I did. I had just played Bloodbond March.
Yeah, I play that. Are you playing Damia as your general? Or
I'm using Mimeoplasm, so that.
Okay.
I've actually, because I had stayed away from all the new commanders for so long, but Mimeoplasm is just like a great. Some out of nowhere creature.
Yeah.
And you just make but the fact that he can also be a relentless rat is really the crux of the reason that I use him.
Oh, I put Conspiracy in my Damia deck so she could she could take out the mask and be a rat. Dun dun dun.
The reason I like it so much though is because there's so many cards that you can't run in EDH, but you can in the Relentless Rats deck.
Like Doubling Chant, right?
Yeah, or Bloodbond March.
Yeah,
or there's another
the Ripple
one.
Card, right?
The Ripple card. I've never drawn it. I don't have any tutors in the deck because I don't want to actually find the things that I want to do, or else things could actually get crazy. But otherwise, I've also never run the Tainted Lands in anything, but they're awesome in that deck because you need so much freaking black.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Like you need like at least like. 3/5 of your mana to be making black right off the bat, yeah. And then, or you can get a Lurin out real quick, and then it's fun too.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Cassidy's Audacity. He doesn't follow the rules. Off color.
So this week for the Audacity, we're going to do something that I really like to do, which is either just kind of create rules or speculate on rules or just basically talk about the rules. In this case, we're going to talk about what the other five abilities for the guilds in Gatecrash are going to be. You know, there's pretty much all my favorite guilds are left to do, so I'm really excited about what's going to be happening coming up here soon. And I think for this, what I want to do is it's more like a wish list almost than like what would be realistic, because like it's almost possible to predict what the fuck they're going to be doing with these cards at any time, you know. No, I mean we didn't call any of the stuff that ended up happening in Return to Ravnica, so basically like I think we should just have like a wish list of what we think the abilities in the guild should be. I guess I'll start off. I'm going to go with Dimir first, and blue-black. I've been playing a lot of blue-black. I think, you know, we just talked about it. I play Widwin and Bella. And, even when I really dropped the curve on that deck, it still has the Silent Blade Oni in it. So it's my only card that's more than, like, four to cast in that deck now. So I think Dimir would be cool if it had something that kind of complements the old one, which was
Transmute,
thank you. So it's kind of like the Transmute, except for I think it should bring back a lot of like the Force of Wills type abilities, like remove a card in your hand from the game to cast it for free, that kind of thing. So that was my first thoughts on it. I have thoughts on other things too, but I just thought we'd get started in brainstorming more, so this segment is not really shitty. So what do you guys think?
I feel like they're probably just because it just seems so easy. I'm sure they'll do something like mill wise with Dimir.
What's that creature? There's a creature from Ravnica. It's like a little blue guy. I think his name's something Messenger or something like that. It's like a hold on. It's like a 2/1/4 like to be. It's in Return to Ravnica.
Oh yeah, the one
it
that
has like some type of effect, right? Where like
it's got like curiosity, right? If it hits you, you draw a card.
Like if it hits like a player, I think it has some type of weird text on it. Like when this creature deals combat damage to a player, they mill that they put that many cards in the from the top of their deck into their graveyard or something like that.
Oh, that was from the core set, I think. It was from Innistrad, I think.
I tend to glaze over when I start reading about mill cards lately. There's Jorald's Mind Crusher, I guess. But yeah. So that's what you think it's kind of be like? Going to be like kind of more like that?
Well, there was the was it the Dimir champion that sort of did the same thing, or was it the Lich Lord Draenu that did the mill instead of damage?
Oh no, it was the champion Sirkyu. Draenu had the flashback ability.
Oh yeah, stupid Sirkyu.
Yeah, Sirkyu's terrible in EDH, except for I guess against the Relentless Rats deck. Like, oh shit, Sirkyu, fuck you.
Wait a minute, but there was it an Alara general that gets +1/+1 counters and mills?
No, Zadek was.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, maybe Draenu is Cold Snap or something.
Oh yeah, Zadek is the. Yeah, I got my names mixed up. Zadek was who I was thinking of. And that's I could see it's them putting an ability that's not exactly like that, but I feel like they're going to have mill in there somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they've been pushing pretty hard mill blue lately, you know, increasing confusion, Jace memory adept and stuff, so that wouldn't be surprising. It'd be a little bit disappointing, though, because they seem like they're supposed to be ninjas. And, like, milling is not
I got
ninja.
It. It was a Crosstown Courier.
Oh.
He's a 2-1 for one in a blue Vedalken. Whenever Crosstown Courier deals combat damage to a player, that player puts that many cards on top of his library into his or her graveyard. There you go. And it is from Return to Ravnica.
Yeah,
you're
right.
There you go. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Does it have a flavor text on it?
I don't know. I'm looking at it on Conquer first.
Information travels quickly through Ravnica's network of messengers and thought agents.
Yeah, it doesn't really mention anything about the Dimir, though. So.
Well, they're not going to mention much of the Dimir in the first set.
Well, they did the one. There was that one card where it was like, if the Dimir could have, they bought it or something like that. I can't remember.
Though I think it'll definitely, since there's a lot more creature stuff going on, I feel like it'll probably be creature-based, too.
Oh, okay, so creature mill type deal.
Yeah, and that in Transmute was kind of ridiculous, and I doubt they're going to do anything that awesome again.
Right, yeah, Transmute and then Dredge, like, we obviously won't get something like that cool again, but besides that.
Let's see.
Okay. Anything else about Dimir Kids?
Yeah, maybe it's just wishful thinking. I just wish it would be more, tempo-based and, like, counter-spell-y. I don't know. I just want more cards for my
I think it's going to be the tempo guild by the end of it, because they have ridiculous stuff for that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's just a shame, though, because it doesn't really fit at all with the rest of the shit that Blue-Red has to deal with, you know. All the generals are clunky and combo-y and stuff. It's just like, can't we just have something cool in Blue-Red? Like, oh no, just Jorah. Have fun with Joyra some more.
I mean, they got the creature upheaval. the asymmetrical upheaval.
Well, that's just blue. Cyclonic Rift. Yeah, I picked up one of those the other day.
Yeah, I'm not going to run it because everybody's going to run it because it's too good. So I'm just going to be like, nope. It's kind of like, I don't like auto includes, and that's practically an auto include.
Yeah, it basically is. I mean, it's so good, and especially if you ran Capsizer into the Royal before, it's like, oh yeah, bye. Thanks. That was fun.
All right. Calvin, let's talk about your favorite guild. My favorite guild was in the last set, so I'm kind of not excited at all.
Not into it. He really just doesn't give a shit. And which guild was that again, Chris?
Rakdos?
Yeah. Rakdos was awesome.
Yeah, I got a lot of boss cards from Rakdos.
Just thinking about that. That's actually pretty funny because, every time I hear that, the only thing that comes to my mind is Rakdos Worm Coral Engine. That's the only two things that comes to my mind from your guild now. Like, I see that guy, and I'm just expecting, a 6-6.
Rakdos Ulamog.
But, okay. Well, one of the things... Rakdos Ulamog?
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. All right, well, if we're going to be talking about my favorite guild, it's Boros, of course, because you know what? I'm always, down for the red-white Boros Legion. And in all honesty, the one thing I really have to pray is that I hope they do something with Boros like they did with Azorius, where they kind of, just completely forget the entire first mechanic and don't try to do anything that worked with it, and then just do something that's actually, in Boros' flavor.
hating on ratings.
Because like, it's like, don't get me wrong, there are a few, very, very, very few cards in Radiance that might work, and I'm pretty sure Chris Lansdale can tell you them all. But every time I look at that, it's like, oh god, I hate the idea that I'm going to do this and it's going to happen to everyone's creatures that shares a color. So like, it's okay if I'm doing it to a green blue deck because I'm playing red white. But I hate the idea, like, I'm going to play this and it's going to do damage to everything. And oh yeah, you have a blue red creature, which means it's going to do damage to your blue red creature, and it's going to do that much damage to all my red creatures. So it just feels like it's the kind of effect that would backfire on me. In fact, I would have expected Radiate to be more like of an Izzet kind of effect, you know? It just feels more Izzet to me. Like, if you just so happen to play, like, a deck that doesn't share any colors with you, it does everything. But if you happen to come across someone that's got your colors, you better watch out, because you might just fuck yourself. So, like, what I was thinking for Boros would be something a little bit more combat-based, more militant kind of similarities. Something close to Battlecry, but not with, like, the plus one thing. Like, I would actually kind of want it to be, like, an effect where, like, when this creature attacks, creatures get whatever. But that's basically kind of, like, played out and already got used with Battlecry. And I've seen a bunch of other effects that do things like that. And they kind of just slap things on creatures like that without giving it an actual mechanic. But what I would want to see would be kind of like a double tap. Like, if my creature swings and actually connects with the player, that it would then be given a chance to smack you again. Like, something along lines of, like, if this creature deals combat damage to a player, you get an extra attack phase, but only the only creatures that dealt damage to that player may attack again.
Like,
I mean, it's a little wordy. But not like Relentless Assault, but only for the ones that were successful in hitting you.
Oh, okay.
If I swing at you with five guys and you block and only one of them gets through, I then have the option to swing again, and the one that got through then has the option to attack again on a second battle phase. You feel me? Mm-hmm.
So would the creatures be able to block again, or would they only be able to block once a turn?
I would assume, like, creatures that didn't get to block would probably get the chance to, like, because I've never really been one for, like, figuring out how these mechanics would be written.
Fair.
I just, like, in my mind, imagine how they would work. It's more like my guy hits. If your guy didn't block, then he has the option to block. But creatures that were involved in the previous combat, in my view, would not be allowed to, you know, be involved in the next one. But it's more like it's only like a once per turn thing. Kind of like, just like a Relentless Assault. Like, you only really get like two extra battle phases out of it. Because it just seems like the kind of thing where Boros would be the guild where you're going to end up having small creatures that's going to have double strike. And it's going to hit you. It's going to hit you again. And then he's going to be allowed to attack you again and do that same amount of damage two more times. So it's like he kind of like has like quadruple strike without actually saying it.
So I think since Boros might be red-white, but when you look at him a little bit, it really seems like they're like the lawful neutral guild.
Yeah, for sure.
I think what you do is you bring back banding. Except maybe like they get +1/+1 for each creature in the band when they attack.
Wow.
I also think something along the lines of maybe like,
so you're saying that they would have like Battle Cry instead of Battle Yell
if they're banded together.
Yeah, like instead of Battle Cry, Battle.
Yeah, reverse rampage. Or like, I think it'd be nifty if you could have, this would have to be only on burn spells though, so it would be kind of weird. But if you could like if you pinged like a pinger or something that hit the opponent, and however much damage that guy did, attacking creatures would get +X/+0 until end of turn.
That could just be like a good card though. You
know? Yeah. That's not really a mechanic.
I think the mechanic that I like for Boros is, I would call it like something like Discipline. And it would be like a set of creatures that when they come into play, you get to like choose their evergreen ability, like choose Death Touch or Double Strike or whatever when it comes into play, and like it has that ability. That's what I was thinking for Boros, because they seem lawful neutral, but they also seem like they're like Because, like, I read the fluff a little bit. Like, they're kind of, like, in control of the city when it comes to, like, military might, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just figured they would have some badass soldiers. And I think that would be pretty cool to have some, like, white weenies or, like, small red creatures that can, like, choose between their abilities so that they have way more, like, versatility. Like, if you want it to be haste, then you can choose haste. But if it's, like, I need a double striker or I need death touch or whatever, so I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. So
what about like a fireball variant that actually has like some type of weird thing where it doesn't sacrifice, but it has like flash or something?
Oh, lightning ball? Lightning ball, you mean?
Yeah, lightning ball, I mean.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Like a 7-1 day come, like you, like it has the sacrifice thing. It's like you can, but it has like flash tacked on it, and it's like red white. So it, technically, you could use it for blocking, and it'd be basically a burn spell. But in the same token, most of the times you can also drop it and swing. Either way you look at it, at the end of the turn, it's going to die. But either way, you now have more usage for it. Because that's another thing I kind of like see when I think about Boros as like a whole. Because of their like militant like strength, I expect them to be like the people who are involved in a lot of combat, but and usually control that combat. It's like they just seem like the kind of creatures that would do something to like a combat phase and just like pump you to a point where your opponents realize the only way to win this game is by finding something to do other than fight you.
I feel like banding would solve that.
So yeah, Boros is getting banned, and you heard it here first.
I actually like like, not banding so much, but I like those sort of, like, the military abilities that they don't use anymore. Like, I thought flanking was cool.
Yeah.
And even Bushido, not as cool as flanking, but still okay.
Because well, flanking, they had Odric, right?
Yeah.
Odric kind of had that ability.
Flanking could straight up just kill a dude.
Kill a lot of dudes, actually, because it's everyone that blocks them.
Yeah.
And they were cool. They were on really badass cards, just, like, looking, you know, because, like, that was Mirage and, like, this whole new art and stuff, and then you're like, oh, these guys are awesome. They're riding a horse in the desert. They're flanking everyone. Like, fuck yeah.
Maybe instead of, maybe they could all just have morphling abilities that you could use whenever you wanted.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't really feel like a mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be more, then it'd just be like a bunch of guys that have abilities you can use. But it had to be like a mechanic, something that everybody uses. And when you look across the board, it works the same way. I mean, this might not have the exact same outcome, but it works the same way. Like, overload doesn't work, doesn't have the same outcome, but you know, like, pay this, get a small effect. Pay more, get a bigger effect.
And you know, I would. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like when I was talking about it, I was thinking more like this: you'd have like a knight on horseback, so he could get haste or flanking, and then you have like a soldier, so you could give him first strike, or you have an assassin type character, so he can have death touch or shroud when he comes into play. So that's kind of what I was thinking more like, kind of like specific abilities like that, like discipline this or something. I don't know.
You know what? Now that you've mentioned horseback, what if like Boros was like the horse you rode in on kind of effect.
Hey, that like, format like, that format has wings.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, almost like all the Boros creatures, all the Boros guys have, like, an ability where when they come in, they always come in with a token. Not, like, a copy of themselves, but, like, you know, like a familiar token or something like that, like a horse or type of, like, attack dog or something.
That familiar format that the dude mentioned I think is pretty sweet. And we should mess with it sometime.
Was that the new episode?
But the guy is basically like, you have a non-legendary card in the non-legendary creature of CMC 4 or less that also sits in the command zone, and you can't cast it without the commander being out.
That's
and so basically it's his familiar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like it, but it like if you actually like worked on it, you would just break it and like.
I'm already like, I would ban
Eternal Witness as a familiar.
Yeah, no ETBs, ladies and gentlemen, no ETBs. They have to just be like familiars with evergreen effects or something like that.
they have to be able to interact with what was that?
With the general.
No, the one that the glyphs. That we talked about a couple, like a month ago, something glyphs that give creatures no abilities +2/+2.
Morrigana petroglyphs.
Yeah, Morrigana petroglyphs. There it is. They have to. So a creature has to be vanilla in order to be a familiar.
Yeah, I'm thinking. The more I think about Boros, the more I want to just try and fit some sort of Warhammer thing into their.
Yeah.
Into their mechanic.
Like rank and file, almost something like that.
Or I think what it should actually be is their ability should be Artillerize. I know that's a card already, but pay a mana cost on the creature and it turns into a Chaos Orb.
Chaos Orb.
You flip it in the air, whenever it lands on is dead.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't think that's going to happen. They did Chaos Confetti once, and that was a disaster for everyone that had to be involved.
Chaos Confetti. Poof.
Yeah. Dude, my friend would just take, like, a deck full of proxies, and every single one was Chaos Confetti, and he would just rip it up, throw it everywhere, and then leave. So they'd be like, what the fuck? Clean up after your friend. Like, oh, I'm not going to get cleaned up as Chaos Confetti. See ya. Oh, man. So we killed Boros there. What's yours, Chris?
I got stuck with Simic. And as far as I'm concerned, Graft was the most boring crap mechanic on Earth. And I really couldn't think of anything to do with it. I mean, anything that would jibe with it, because I feel like Unleash already did the counter thing enough that we didn't need to revisit more counter things in these mechanics.
Well, Scavenge's counters, too.
Yeah, Scavenge's counters, too. So I was really at a loss of what to do with it. When you mentioned the Force of Will thing, maybe if there were cards that had an effect where you pitched a card and, like, you could loot to its converted mana cost or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want it to be... I feel like Graft wasn't blue enough for a blue-green... For a blue-green guild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does actually feel more like of a green effect.
That and Graft, like, you had to wait until a dude came into play to even move the counters, and it was just garbage.
Most of the cards were just terrible by themselves anyways. You know, there's like a few cool ones, but also it's just like, I would never need to do this. You know, it's like, they basically remade Modular, right? Or
yeah,
Modular,
except they made it really bad.
Yeah.
I think, you remember those sorceries that had, they were instants, but if you played them at sorcery speed, they had better effects.
Yeah, like maybe, a Return to Dust.
Yeah, maybe just all the cards, maybe just all the Simic creatures that flash, but they have better stuff if you play them during your main phase.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of almost like the Unleash ability, right? It's kind of like a trade-off. I like that. I think that actually makes a lot of sense for blue and green, too, because they're the two with the most flash creatures, basically, right? Like, there's Yeva and Teferi. That covers, like, all the creatures, basically.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it would just be a counter, which would be boring, or if maybe, like, any activated ability it had would be better or something like that. It would probably just be a counter.
Yeah, it makes it bigger or, like, it'll have, like, a specific kicker effect, right? So, like, it'll be like, if you do this, it'll be this kind of soulbound, basically, you know what I mean? Like, it'll be this draw, or it'll be that mill or something like that. So that'd be pretty cool. I could see that. Almost like the opposite of Evoke, you know, kind of like an Evoke thing, right?
Yeah.
What are the other two guilds that we haven't talked about? Or, I guess we could still talk about Simic some more.
I don't want to talk about Simic anymore.
Well, I mean, Calvin doesn't say.
Yeah, Calvin, you got anything about Simic?
I'm trying to see if I can think of anything that might be useful to, like, I can't really think of any effects that would be like a evergreen, not like a mechanic that would use +1 counters. Because it seems like the kind of thing where if you could come up with something that could, if you combine the original Simic with this, you take Graft and combine it with like a particular mechanic that abuses +1 counters, then you can probably find something to kind of work there. But it just seems like the kind of thing would be too dependent on other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd basically end up with, like, Graft 2.0 again. Whereas, like, it's the same crap where you have a mechanic that depends on another mechanic to do its thing before it can do its thing.
Yeah, and Proliferate granted, kind of blew that open, you know what I mean? Like, after Proliferate, I think people are kind of like, okay, we get it.
The only thing I really want from Simic is a blue-green general that I don't feel like an asshole playing. Yeah. It is an experiment garage.
That's not going to happen.
I
seriously doubt that there would ever be a creature that has blue and green in its mana cost without being an ass.
All right. I actually had an idea for Orzhov as well, so I thought.
I think we should actually save Orzhov because that'll be a little more interesting. So we'll do Gruul because it's Gruul.
Okay, sure.
They had Bloodthirst before. That seemed a pretty Gruul thing. I'm not sure what you Gruul up this time. Calvin, any ideas?
We're just saying it. Like, the only, like, Gruul basically falls into the same problem that we just came out with Cynic, where the original mechanic was pretty good, but it'd be like digging back into the plus one counter well again to find something that worked, you know? And it just doesn't seem good. And with Scavenge and with more likely Simic doing something with plus one counters and the Rakdos doing something with plus one counters, it's like, what, like almost half the guilds have mechanics based around this one pretty much effect. And they're all pretty much like just like circle jerking each other with plus one counters one way or another.
I think maybe you do something like Fury where you give it a number after and you know, activate Fury, this creature gets plus X, where X is the number of Fury. Creature is also indestructible, sacrifice at end of turn.
Oh, okay. Like, just when it attacks, or when you play it or something?
Whenever you want to activate it.
Oh, okay. I was thinking more of something like, the creature has, like, a better ability when he's attacked, since the last turn, or he's bigger, you know? So, like Bobarimos is, like, 3-4 when he's untapped as a blocker, but he attacks and he's, like, 8-8 until the beginning of the next turn, you know what I mean? So, that's kind of what I was thinking, that Gruul would be, like, totally dependent on attacking to have good creatures, but, like, the creatures are going to be so fucking brutal when they are attacking, you know?
Yeah.
So, that was what I was thinking about. I don't know.
Maybe, like, a creature with fire breathing that has, like, +2/+2 fire breathing.
When it's attacking.
When it's attacking.
Yeah, that'd be sick as fuck, too. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Bloodthirst already got reused, so, I mean, yeah. I hope we don't see anything even remotely resembling Bloodthirst. It was boring as fucking. Now, there's another thing that made M12 suck ass. Or is that M13? No, it was M12, right?
Yeah, it was M12.
Yeah, fucking
yeah, M12. It was just a bad set.
So bad, yeah.
Well, it had the Factor Fiction Sphinx, which I do see from time to time still.
Yeah, again, but that also got printed in M13 again.
Like, did it? That's right.
That was one of the big creatures that they printed that they reprinted, which is a bummer, because, like, Runescarred Demon is one of my favorite creatures, and I would like more chances to get Ventral Pharaoh still. That card's awesome, yeah. Like, Caridor, or Karavek, I mean. Calvin had to mute it. Yeah.
It'd be funny if, like...
Yeah, I had to mute. My son has recently walked in telling me it's time for his bath, and he's standing in front of me right now, like, holding a wrestling mat in his hand, but he's butt-ass naked, and a panda. And the thing is like, he's itchy, so he's, like scratching himself. But he's not using his fingers. He's using the wrestling mitt he has. So he's, like, rubbing Rey Mysterio all over his body.
Poor Raven.
And I'm trying to be like, please, Sanskrit, yes.
Can you tell?
Okay.
Can you point to the doll where Rey Mysterio touched you?
Like, Rey Mysterio, could you point on the small child where he forced you at? Like, and I'm like sitting here watching, he's like scratching himself with this tiny little Rey Mysterio, and it's just like going up and down. I'm like, why are you rubbing Rey Mysterio all over your body? Like, I'm itchy. I was like, stop that. Just stop. Please, stop.
Why are you rubbing Rey Mysterio all over your body?
Maybe there could be some sort of... I really want, like, these, like, you know, big rage things to happen. Like, I want Gruul to be, like, you know, 40k orcs.
Yeah, no, I really like your idea where you just, like, you just set him to die. You know,
yeah. Or maybe even just like an ability that you can activate, but it sets the creature's toughness to 1.
Yeah, and gives it trample.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's
turning every turning any creature you want into ball lightning.
Yeah, basically, that'd be fucking awesome. That'd be cool. Yeah, as well. That'd be fun.
That's one thing I wanted to actually mention, because I think that's actually a pretty great idea with that particular one. Like, just the idea of having a group of the Boros, like not Boros, the Gruul actually having creatures that are just like, you know what? It's like they're kind of like the Incredible Hulk. They get to a point where they just get so pissed where you can't destroy them, and then they just start beating your face in, and maybe eventually they kill themselves.
When you activate the ability, you put 3 fading counters on it.
Oh, no, don't activating. Because then they'll have the other one.
Vanishing. I guess Vanishing was the new one.
Either way, I get confused as fuck.
I like to run, if I have one kind in the deck, I want to put the other one in so I can never remember which one's which.
Blastoderm and Calcoderm. Like, suck it.
Alright, but since Cassidy actually has stuff on Orzhov, let's talk about them, because as we said before, I don't know, I said Graft was the worst mechanic, but Haunt might be the for real worst mechanic.
I don't know. I mean, there's a few cards with Haunt that are really good, like the discard one and then the Haunt stuff.
I fall asleep trying to read the ability.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's not I don't think it's as bad as Graft, but or just unimaginative, unintuitive as Graft, but, like, yeah, most of them are pretty bad, and it's just, like, it requires a lot of, like, derping and fiddling, you know?
Haunt is like, we did some drugs, let's make a mechanic.
Let's be honest, Haunt is worse than Graft, because, like, at least Ding. With Graft, it's like, once you use it, it's done.
Thanks, I forgot we were counting
those. like, at least with Graft, you know what it does. Like, once you get the premise of it, it's done and over with. But Haunt, it's like a lot of times you're stuck rereading the cards and trying to remember exactly what it does. And you haunt something and it goes to the graveyard and it's gone. And you're like, oh, wait a second, do I put this? Oh, yeah, I got to put this under something. And the near creature dies. You're like, wait a second, I'm supposed to do something with this, right? And like, it's worse than just trying to say, you know what, fine, Oblivion Ring. Which I think would probably be a pretty good thing that they probably did, would just be better off just using. Just exile the fucking card, period.
Actually, that leads into what I think they should do, is I think it should be a lot like Jared's ability, how he gets like Lurgoyf, you know what I mean? for your creatures in your yard. I think that Orzhov should be like the first time that they like really, really pay attention to the exile zone, like as a resource, like the graveyard. Like your creature gets plus X for each card exiled or something like that. Or, you know, just something that affects the exile zone. You know, I was thinking about Taysa's ability in the last set, and she was all about, you know, she had an exile clause in her thing, and then the champion was the Ghost Council, and they exiled themselves. So I just think that's like, the way I want it to go. And also, it's just so that I think black-white needs something that's just, like, really, really cool that they can call their own, because, like, it's just, like, there's a lot of cool black-white stuff, but it's so disjointed as a color, you know what I mean?
It'd be fun to get a new black-white general that I want to play, too.
Right, exactly. A lot like Simic, right, exactly. Yeah.
But, it'd be cool if there was, like, an exiled more zone, so, like, you could use the cards that are in the exile zone as a resource to, like, make tokens or something.
Uh-huh.
But you can't exile something that's right exiled. exile target exiled card into the exile more zone. Put a 1/1 flying spirit token in play.
Oh, maybe they'll just go for broke and make a chaos confetti giant warhog style. Rip this shit in half, cast again from the exile.
It would be. I think if there was anything that was going to hugely interact with the exile zone, Orzhov should be the one to do it.
Yeah,
and I mean we do have. We have the one blue card that you can cast from exile, but that's it so far. But it'd be nice if they could use the cards it'd be boring to just say you can cast this from exile. Mm-hmm. If you could use the cards that are in the exile zone as a resource for something, that'd be really cool. Especially if the creatures themselves that you have like abilities that happen when you exile, like, you know, like pay 2 white, exile this card, do something.
Yeah, exactly. Or like some blue card that like, or no, Doomsday, right? Doomsday, like, exiles all cards except for, like, that'd be a super baller combo if there was a creature that, like, Lurgoyfs off of the exile zone. Like, Doomsday, attack you for 70.
Yeah, they could make, like,
and besides,
something
being
like
able to exile seems like, first?
I was just going to say, if like, Mangara's ability would be pretty good to try and fit into Orzhov, except try and make it so that it can't be broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if there were a guild that was going to, like, you know, be like exile everything, it seems like it should be Orzhov. I mean, that's the guild that has the colors of Wrath, Damnation, Board Wipe, with basically all shapes, forms, Day of Judgment, Plenar Cleansing. I mean, there shouldn't really be anything that they can't get rid of everything. And if they choose that they wanted to exile, I wouldn't be surprised that that'd be the color combination with, like, the Wrath effect that says, like, exile all creatures, or exile all artifacts, or all non-land permanents. And then, you know, you drop some type of guy who gets, like, plus X plus O for all exiled stuff. And even flavor-wise, Orzhov happens to be the guild that likes to cremate people because it prevents them from going to Golgari.
Right.
It'd be cool if we could work on the Mafia angle somehow, since the Orzhov is also the Mafia.
Well, they could just have the new general be, like, Krenko-style mob boss.
Or maybe the general could be something like... Actually, no, you'd want, like, an enforcer who, as long as it's your turn, you can tap your opponent's untapped lands for mana as a kickback.
Dude. By the way, I'm going to tap your lands.
Little light here. It'd be sad if something happened to the store.
But just so you know, that would just be horrible for, like, the blue control player who's sitting there with the counter spell. You see that enforcer hits the field, and it's like, fuck. Every counter spell, every flash card I have, I better, like, put them out now, because if I don't, he's just going to tap them out, and I'm never going to get a chance to cast this cancel again.
I wonder if they're going to try to make it so that some of the abilities can't be turned off by detain, because it's activated abilities, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean... When you think about it, none of the special abilities are really activated abilities, except for Populate on the on Tristani, right? Pretty much. All the rest of it, like Scavenge, you can't stop, and all the rest of them are triggered. So that's kind of interesting. I wonder if they're going to try to make it so there's only a few guilds that are actually shut down by that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
You know, that's actually a good point. Tristani is the only real card in it that actually has an ability. From the one of the new mechanics, it actually can't be cut off by detain. Everything else just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but I wonder how they're gonna, like, play into that. Like, Azorius, like, has a lot of its power neutered because it doesn't really. I mean, I guess it turns off the fucking guild mages and shit.
Those guild mages. I think the guild mages are a lot better this time around.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're all. Especially the Zorius one that detains on 5, like, in the colors that can play Training Grounds, hell yeah.
Yeah. Alright, so if you're a better game designer than we are, and you most likely are, and you have your own idea for some abilities that would be cool, why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if the next set's already come out and you listen to this episode, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can tell us how fucking wrong we were. Yeah. We get it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, outro time. Awesome. Okay, beautiful people, you survived yet another episode of Off a Color Cast, episode 32. I hope you had fun listening to it. We had fun making it. I'm Chris. If you want to get a hold of me, why don't you hit me up on Twitter at Christian Renault, or email the show offcolorcast@gmail.com, and I have my secretary Calvin dictate them to me. Cassidy, say goodbye.
Yeah, I will.
Dictate. That's funny, because it's a dick. Dictate. Yeah, it's Cassidy. Tell me how my dick tastes.
Alright.
Yeah. TCGplayer.com, the articles, right or wrong on the Twitter. Thanks for listening to episode 32, which is one of my favorite numbers, just because it's so divisible. I love it. I don't know. Whatever. It's like, that's like something cubed here, right? To the power 4. Alright, that's it. Thanks. I think it's 4 cube, yeah.
Alright, Calvin, save this fucking show.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Resident on the internet. If you're looking for me, you can go to Twitter @CaptainResident. You can hit me up on Gmail. CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. You can also catch us over at AllColorCast@gmail.com. You can catch us at AllColorCast.com. Let's see. We have the AllColorCast Facebook page that we're going to be using, that we've been using since we've passed, I guess, kind of a little bit here and there. Random stuff going up over there. I'm not really sure exactly what it is. It was like random acts of violence, and it became custom-made cards and shows and articles. I haven't really gotten much from articles at the moment, but when they come in, they'll be here, and we'll be posting them up, and we'll let you know if they show up.
Yeah, I feel like our writers are on strike or something.
Whatever.
Well, the thing is, like, when we went on break, they basically went on break, and then when we were coming back from break, I said, "Hey guys, we're coming back from break." I heard nothing from Jason. But then John sent me back, and he says, "Oh, I've got an article, but he's going to send it in." And then I was like, "Okay, fine, sure, you know, no stress or whatever, because you know we still got to finish recording and then do the editing of the show." And that was like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, "All right, well, whatever."
Yep.
But, you know, if you see it, it's not a well. Blah. Yep.
Pretty much. It's a shame though. They're good writers.
Come on, guys. Let's be completely honest. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Ding.
All right, kids. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.